Fellas, this year is not like any year we've had in National Football League. There's going to be chaos, and it's going to be change, and it's going to come every single day. The goals, the objectives will not change. I can't promise you you're not going to get infected. I'm just, I got infected. I've talked to some people that say they're sick of this virus. I'm like, what the hell is that supposed to mean? Let me tell you something. You ain't promised next year. You ain't promised tomorrow. What I want to do is I want to limit your exposures. But then when that damn whistle blow, let's go kick somebody's ass and play some football. One team will do this better than the other 31. Trust me. It might as well be us. So be ready for chaos. Embrace it. Embrace it. Because if we're going to play, the team that handled this thing the best now is going to have the best chance of winning that trophy.
Yes, yes, yes. I am so in. Just like that, we get the music, the Anthony Lynn pump-up speech. I don't care if it's via Zoom. I don't care if it's socially distanced. And I don't care if Coach Lynn is addressing his team from a corporate office park instead of a team auditorium. Hard Knocks is here. It's August, and Hard Knocks means football. I mean, this thing is back. And as we all sit in our respective homes, getting one piece of bad news after another, one setback after another, hearing that music with that speech, it makes you think that we're all at least part of something. It's the launch of the most curious NFL season the league has had in its 100-year history, and the start of something that can be, as Coach Lynn called it, chaotic, but also beautiful. And inspiring and fun and awesome. It is Hard Knocks, and welcome to the Hard Knocks podcast. I am your host, Peter Schrager, and it feels good to officially have the NFL back, and even crazier, on schedule here in August 2020. I'm back this season to take you behind the scenes on the brand new edition of HBO's Hard Knocks that's unlike anything we've ever seen in sports programming history. That's right, it's Hard Knocks Los Angeles. It's the 15th season of the show, and as if featuring two teams for the first time ever, the Rams and Chargers in this case, wasn't enough of a big shakeup, the series is also documenting the reality of players, coaches, staff members, family members, all facing not only training camp struggles, but doing things amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. We are here, and it is glorious to be back. So who am I? Let's get this out of the way now. I've been covering the NFL for more than a decade. I am both an NFL insider and a sideline reporter for Fox Sports. I also host a three-hour television show every weekday morning called Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. I live and breathe this stuff. And this year, more than ever, I feel like my phone has been buzzing with information, insight, and new revelations from the training camp facilities of all 32 teams. We are really into the great unknown, and that includes me, but we're on this ride together. Every week on this podcast, I'll be reaching out to my most knowledgeable and entertaining contacts within the NFL landscape and beyond to break down each episode and provide an insider's perspective. This week, I'll be joined by one of the stars of Hard Knocks Los Angeles, Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn. Then at the end of the show, I'll give you my MVP of the episode and tell you what specific storyline I will be tracking heading into next week. All right, before we get to my conversation with Coach Lynn, and it's a good one, let's get right to it and talk about the premiere episode for what we've waited for all summer long, Hard Knocks Los Angeles. The writing on this show is always fantastic, and narrator Liev Schreiber starts us off with an exquisite line of prose.
This summer, every NFL team will be walking a tightrope between preparation and pandemic. That includes the two teams in Los Angeles. Somehow, the Rams and the Chargers have to negotiate a world with no maps, no precedent, and no margin for error.
That is awesome writing, and I have spoken to people in all 32 NFL buildings over the last few weeks, and I can tell you that is not hyperbole. For example, the Saints, they're down in New Orleans. They have all 170 or so staff members living in a hotel, the Lowe's Hotel, in what's considered a mini bubble until kickoff in September. Meanwhile, the Jets had a power outage after that windstorm in the Northeast last week that knocked out not only the ability to do anything inside the building, but for certain folks to even connect via Zoom. Then there are all those teams that internally are still hopeful that there will be fans in their stadiums and are trying to work out the plans for that on Sundays this fall. You see, all 32 buildings are different and no map is quote unquote right. And that's where the Hard Knocks premiere starts, with questions, but everyone doing the best they can in what is just a bizarre time in NFL history. You want sizzle? We've got sizzle. We've got coronavirus tests right out of the gate. And I was wondering myself, like, how are these teams even doing it, right? Because tough guys like Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry, they're there and they're uncomfortable and they're getting swabs up their nose. And at this moment, I'm watching and I'm like, I need to take a moment and just think, what the hell is going on? Like, what world are we in? This is Hard Knocks. And yet it's 2020 and we're in August and we're usually breaking down position battles and already getting into the new free agent signing and what he looks like. But this is the world we're living in. And there we are. Star Chargers corner Casey Hayward takes us into the real vulnerability that these players are feeling. And truly the pure curiosity that every single person I'm talking to in an NFL building is going through. Casey Hayward's a longtime veteran in this league, a star in this league. And he's getting his first COVID test at training camp. And, well, let's just say he's not exactly at ease.
I'm nervous.
No, just be relaxed, deep breath. I promise it's not difficult.
No, I had it before, so I know it's bad.
Oh, it's bad?
I didn't like it. It goes too far up.
Okay, you ready?
I think so. Cross my fingers. I gotta get prepared. No, for real, I gotta get prepared.
Just the breath.
Yep. Okay.
One. Ready?
Yeah.
I promise. No, don't move.
I ain't try to.
See, for you guys at home, this stuff has been pretty taboo up until now. I work for the NFL Network. I've been watching a lot of ESPN. I have not seen COVID tests of players on camera yet. And there's been a rather tight grip on any talk of testing. And truly, this is the first footage we're getting inside these buildings. And Coach Sean McVay for the Los Angeles Rams says what we are all thinking about 20 minutes into the episode.
This is so weird talking them through masks to you guys.
And that's when an assistant coach presents McVay with a face shield. You've seen these face shields. They're clear and they're not exactly the cloth masks you wear on your face. Sean is talking to his old college buddy, Chris Shula. Yes, Don's grandson and the team's outside linebackers coach. And he says to him, I'm going with this. And that's when the Sean McVay comedy hour begins.
Oh, hey. And it worked.
This is what we're doing, I'm telling you.
Is it better?
Hey, can you see? I'm happy. Yeah, I do not know that, but I think so. In all seriousness, once you get past this, you'll be able to at least see me talk, and you can feel your facial expressions. Yeah, like, yeah. Before anything, we're teachers, right? And communicators. Right. Well, never have I appreciated the value of nonverbal communication more than when you're trying to talk to guys behind masks, and you can't see. Are they laughing? Are they crying? Tell me, what are you thinking right now? Pull the mask down so I can see, you know? Yeah. Where, I mean, I don't give a shit if I look like a total tool that should have a blowtorch over my shoulder. I'll carry Windex with me. You know, hey guys, all right, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go snug right.
Quickly after that was filmed, a memo went out and, well, the memo said those welders' masks, face shields that McVay was hoping to use so people could see him speaking in the building, well, they're not allowed anymore. Well, you can wear one, but you've got to wear a cloth mask under one of those. Oh, well. Let me break the fourth wall here. Before we even got started with this episode, I feared it would be a 60-minute Jalen Ramsey experience where it's just about Jalen Ramsey's contract, whether Jalen Ramsey's unhappy, how they're going to use Jalen Ramsey, what was promised to Jalen Ramsey. Well, we get the Jalen Ramsey experience somewhat. We get the highlight montage, the trash talk, the looming contract talk for a bit. And I know that will be broken down on another episode, but I gotta say, I love the Joey Bosa experience on this episode far more. Call me an optimist, but I've been hearing about Jalen Ramsey's contract going on 3 years now, and his frustration with reporters, highlighted by him walking out of a Zoom session on the episode, is sort of how I feel on the topic, too. It's not going anywhere. We don't have an update. Let's just let it be for now. Bosa, taking two picks before Ramsey on draft night in 2016, the Chargers star defensive end gets a new contract on this episode. And the NFL Films cameras are there for the moment where the ink hits the paper.
Alright, can you look out?
My mask.
Are you smiling under there?
Yeah. I'm fogging up.
Oh my gosh, you are. Here.
I mean, the best moment of it all was when my dad called me and I picked up that phone and he was just so happy. And it was really cool. It was a really cool moment. I'm never gonna forget it.
I love seeing Joey Bosa get emotional because you don't see that side of him often. He's actually a man of very few words. And this was cool access. And there's more to this story. And here's the inside skinny. No one saw this contract coming. Holy cow, how far Bosa and the Chargers have come since his first contract discussion with a team back in training camp of 2016. You see, Bosa was a holdout as a rookie, and things got ugly rather publicly. 4 years ago, in late August, things were so far apart that Bosa's agent, Brian Eyrault, put out a statement that read as follows, quote, "It is unfortunate that the San Diego Chargers have decided to manipulate facts and negotiate in the media. The team surely is not strengthening its relationship with Joey Bosa by taking the stance and making their position public. We have decided that we will not engage in public negotiations or discuss numbers and or terms in this negotiation. We will say that it is ironic that the team now takes issue with the timing of Joey's arrival, since the Chargers unilaterally decided to remain silent for the first 14 days of training camp instead of replying in a timely fashion to the proposal we made on the eve of training camp on July 28th, and so on and so on and so on. A scathing statement. Bosa wouldn't sign his contract until September, and he would have a good rookie year and go on to have a nice couple seasons in the NFL. This time around, this contract, well, it happened with little fanfare, very little public debate, and absolutely no acrimony. Eyrault and the Chargers got a deal done, and they did it all behind the scenes. And it just wasn't any deal. It was one that makes Bosa the highest paid defensive player in all of football. I have spoken to Tom Telesco, the Chargers general manager, over the past few weeks, and he was happy to avoid anything like the two sides endured 4 years ago. And I've spoken to other agents who represent players, and they all say the same thing. It's a great deal for Bosa and a great deal for the Chargers. The contract is one that rewards one of the best pass rushers in the league, and it also keeps him an LA Charger for the foreseeable future. It's around the 40-minute mark of the premiere where we get to the biggest news and the first real revelation of the episode. Chargers coach Anthony Lynn had COVID-19 earlier this offseason. Team psychologist comes in to discuss the mental and emotional effects of having the virus that has infected now more than 5 million people worldwide.
Coach Lynn.
Hello, bro.
How you feeling, man?
Feeling good.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you had the virus.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah, I didn't tell nobody, but yeah, I had.
You feel like completely cool?
I'm just not starting to feel really like I'm back.
So how does it matter? I mean, like, you know, you read about it, but you experienced it. What happens?
I'm sitting there, I'm coughing a little bit. Then my body started aching a little bit. I couldn't get comfortable in my bed.
Right.
I woke up that morning, I'm watching the golf, and the guy that was winning pulled out because he said his body was aching, he was sore than normal, he got tested, he was positive. I said, shit, my body kind of felt like that. If I hadn't been watching that golf event and saw that golfer complain about back aches and soreness, I never would have even gotten tested.
Right.
And I would have had this and never even known it, shit. And probably got people infected.
Right.
So I can't even tell you how.
Yeah. So what were you thinking about during that time? I don't mean to sound like a stranger. I'm just curious.
I think the first day, you feel a little bit like an outcast. That was part harder for me than the sickness. It's feeling like I can't go here, I'm gonna affect this person. All of a sudden, I'm the problem. When you used to fixing the problem, now it's like, I'm the problem.
Anthony Lynn is a leader of men. I've gotten to know him over the years, and when he was hired as the head coach of the Chargers, I was beyond happy for him. He is a Bill Parcells disciple, but a man who has charted his own path. When the Chargers played the Titans in London 2 years ago, we really hit it off overseas, spending a lot of time together and sharing life experiences. I consider him a friend.
Pete, how you doing?
Anthony Lynn and I have spoken a bunch this offseason, and I'm a reporter. I'm supposed to break news. I'm supposed to know things that others don't. Well, I had no idea he had COVID-19, not until I viewed this episode. I also didn't want to focus too much on that news when we had our conversation. Instead, I wanted to hear his impressions on this bizarre season, filming this TV show under these circumstances, and what it's like being finally back in his NFL building. Coach, so as we see on episode one, you guys are back, but it's not quite back to normal. What it's been like now entering the second week of August and what training camp's supposed to be, I can only imagine this great canyon of differences. How's it been? And what we saw on episode one, is that what you expected, or is it even far more different than what you've walked into here?
I tell you, it is a different feel because everyone has to be patient. And, you know, because we're here, we're ready to go, but there's an acclimation period that the NFL and NFLPA thought out really well, and a lot of protocols that we have to go through for the first couple of weeks here. So we're just getting guys back acclimated to football. You know, we hadn't been on the football field in a long time. And they're working in the weight room, they're working on the field and conditioning, and we're having some walkthrough sessions along with as many Zoom meetings as possible. You know, I'm really trying to limit the exposures with the players by keeping them apart. So that's kind of been the pace of training camp so far, but it's about to pick up here on Friday, you know, when we're able to go against one another and go full speed.
I know you. You're a hands-on coach, and the players love your hands-on coaching style. You'll get out there on the practice field. I've watched your practices over the years. Is it so weird being in a room and relying on Zoom and not being out there and showing a running back or a wide receiver what you want to see?
Absolutely, yeah. That's very different and uncomfortable. But, you know, like I told the coaches and the players and the football staff, this is going to be a very uncomfortable season, and we're not going to be able to do things the way we've done things in the past. And whichever team can adapt to change and follow these protocols, or they're going to have a competitive advantage. And so there are times when we want to revert back to what's natural, mm-hmm. but we can't. You know, we have to continue on with the Zoom meetings and figure out how to engage with our players, you know, and right now we're focusing on just using the best technology that we have. I think anytime when you're doing things virtually, you got to tap into the senses. And the only two that I know of that we can tap into is vision and sound. So we're just trying to make sure that that's the best quality that it can be and move from there.
You get the call a few months back. Coach, congrats, you're going to be on Hard Knocks. The initial response isn't always great to that call. You throw in a global pandemic. What was your thought when the NFL and the Chargers executives came to you and said, hey, we're going to have cameras on you all training camp?
Well, you know, as a coach initially, you know, you think about what you can do, what you can't do. You go, I mean, Hard Knocks, they do an outstanding job. I've had the pleasure of being on Hard Knocks a couple times. And they do a good job with the narrative and the stories that they tell. But also, you have to be careful not to give away anything. And mm-hmm. and I'm in the business of collecting information, not giving it out. And so that's something that, you know, you always have to guard against a little bit. But I hate, you know, guarding what I say every day. Yeah. And how I say it. So because I do have a relationship with some of the Hard Knocks people from the past, I just trust that they're going to put out the best story and paint the best picture of the team, both teams, the Chargers and the Rams, that they can. So I'm just letting it fly, man. And whatever content they get and use, they use. But I can't fake it. So
yeah, you can't censor yourself or walk on eggshells. And you learn from maybe the greatest Hard Knocks character of all time. You were an assistant on Rex Ryan's team when they had Hard Knocks. So what do you remember from that year? That's the whole Darrell Revis deal. That was the go get a snack. Like, you're watching this on TV, but you were in the building. So what do you remember from Rex as a head coach from Hard Knocks?
You know, Rex, what you saw from Rex, and I do believe, Peter, that's the highest rated Hard Knocks of all time. But what you saw from Rex Ryan was just Rex every day. That's what we experienced every day. And he was even toning it down some, to be honest with you. And so it was cool to watch it on TV. You know, we get together as a staff and we watch it and have a couple pops, and it was funny. But, you know, there was also some things in those stories about our players that we didn't even know.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought Hard Knocks did a good job of investigating and telling those stories. And so that was kind of cool to see. And I think we have some really good character guys on this team, and they are characters as well. And I think it'll be cool for the fans to see the personalities of the guys, you know, on our roster.
Yeah, we got a first glance in the first episode, but we also saw you had to cut some players already, and you didn't even get a chance to see these guys take the field. Part of the Hard Knocks beauty is that we link on to some of these guys the first couple of weeks, and then they cut down the roster from 90 to 75, and then you're hooked in on these storylines. But I feel terrible for a lot of these kids because they didn't even get a chance to try out and they were released. What was that like in doing that in front of cameras?
You know, that was tough. Cutting down to 80 before camp even started, when we're used to having 90, you know, that's huge when you're looking at your overall roster and depth charts and what you can do and can't do in practice, and then just, you know, picking the 10 to release that never even got an opportunity, and I'm just telling you, all I can think about is Mike Davis, undrafted free agent, Austin Eckler, undrafted. Those kids would not have made our team under these circumstances. And they are major contributors right now. And so I just think about, you know, those guys, who are we going to miss out on, you know? And it's just unfortunate, but the evaluation issue just won't be as fair.
Yeah, and you got two rookies in the first round this year and two guys that were highly celebrated. And Justin Herbert, the quarterback, obviously that's going to be a huge storyline throughout the season of Hard Knocks and the regular season. But also Kenneth Murray, a linebacker who people raved about at the combine to me, just about his character off the field. Forget about how great he was on the field. You finally get to see these guys. Usually you would see them in April at a press conference. You get to meet them in person in August. So we get a glimpse of that in episode one. What are your first impressions on these rookies? And how weird is it that you're just now getting to know them on a personal level beyond Zoom?
You know, I'm not going to lie. We spent so much time on Zoom, Peter, that it didn't even strike me until like day two or three that this is the first time I'm seeing these guys face to face.
Yeah.
You know, and so you get used to doing it on Zoom and seeing their faces. But even when my players came back, it's the first time I've seen some of my veteran players since the last game in January. It's just
crazy.
Unbelievable that it's been that long since we've been together. But all the Zoom meetings over the off season, you know, that it kind of paid off. And that's the difference between the lockout back in 12 and now, is that, you know, we have Zoom and then technology is so much better. And so we were always in constant contact, but it was cool to see them in person though, you know, and these guys look good. Now you can tell the ones that are in great shape and the ones that may need a little help.
Yeah.
So
we know that the Chiefs, the Raiders and the Broncos are always going to be the rivals. But there was a big storyline when you guys first moved to LA, and it was you and the Rams. Now, I know you respect McVay. You guys have always gotten along. But with both teams opening a new stadium, both teams getting new uniforms, both teams sharing the Hard Knocks stage, is it safe to say there's at least some competitive juices with the crosstown rivals this year?
I mean, we compete, and they're competitive. We're competitive. But there's a tremendous amount of respect, you know, for that organization. So I know so many good people over there. Hell, I interviewed for the job over there as well. And I was about to go back for a second interview until the Chargers, you know, I got this job. But I have a ton of respect for that organization. And Sean McVay, I've known him forever. You know, his grandfather was GM in San Francisco when I played there. And so Coach John McVay. So, yeah. But are we competitive? Hell yeah, we're competitive. You know,
I've gotten to know you quite well over the last few years. You're considered one of the great men, coaches, husbands, fathers in this league. But a lot of fans watch Hard Knocks and don't necessarily follow the NFL. It's a lot of fans who watch HBO and they're like, all right, I'm into Succession. I'm into Room 104. I'm going to watch Hard Knocks. They're going to get to know you. Let me ask, what's your hope for the fan that doesn't know Anthony Lynn? What's your hope for what they can take away from getting to know you through this all-access program?
Wow, that's a good question, Peter. I never thought about that. You know, I'm not perfect. I can tell you that. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I do things. Sometimes I shouldn't. I say things. Sometimes I shouldn't. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm a relational guy. And you know, I love people. I love helping people. I love giving back. And I love building my success on top of someone else's success. You know, and so I try to be humble. You know, I know that I'm in the position that I'm in. I believe because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, if you see any of that in me, I think that would be great. But, you know, now you got me thinking, man. I never thought about that.
No, I mean, this is it. And like, I feel like a lot of fans of the NFL would know Rex Ryan from his coaching days, but a lot of fans on the street might know Rex Ryan from Hard Knocks. Same with whoever else you want to say, Joe Philbin, right on down the line.
Right.
I'm excited for fans to get to know you because I think you're one of the most beloved coaches in the league within our circles, but I'm not sure people might know you as well just watching TV casually on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, I think that's great. We have a lot of fans, a lot of casual fans that, you know, and maybe some of those fans will become NFL fans by watching Hard Knocks. And that's one of the benefits of doing this show. But, you know, shoot, man, I love what I do. I'm very passionate about what I do. And I think I have a really good coaching staff. And you know, I just to see the relationships, the camaraderie, and yes, it's important to be strategic and have a sound philosophy and vision and be able to carry it out and all that. That's coaching. You know, that's second nature to me. I would expect people to know that. But just as a man, you know, just someone to treat people the way he wants to be treated. And that's all I can say.
My last question. Every week on this show, this podcast, we're going to give out the MVP of the week. And it's not who had the most catches at practice or who was the most accurate. It's who is the biggest personality. You've got a huge group of people around you, 180 staff members all throughout training camp. You're all going through this pandemic together. Give us a little early prediction. Who do you think is going to stand out the most on Hard Knocks once the cameras go on?
Oh, that's I'm trying to decide between a handful here. You've got Melvin Ingram.
Yeah.
He is a character now, and his teammates love him to death. pro's pro, though. You have Keenan Allen. He doesn't say a whole lot until the cameras come on. And then you have a guy that's gaining a little momentum in that area. It's Austin Ekeler. You know, he's becoming a little more vocal. You know, Denzel Perryman.
Yep.
He's a guy to look out for in that category. And Michael Davis, I'm learning. He's kind of like the team clown a little bit. So it's some good competition there for that MVP, I can tell you that.
I love this. You've got Austin Ekeler, an undrafted running back. Mike Davis, as you mentioned, undrafted corner at a BYU. And then you got some of the bigger names on the team. Coach, I appreciate you taking the time, as always. You're one of the best characters in this league, and you really are a true ambassador of what the Shield represents. So thank you for A, doing this podcast, and B, opening up everything and giving all access to the NFL Films cameras so that HBO can broadcast this show. And you're not going to hide anything. No censorship, which I like. That's what we ask for.
Okay. All right, Peter. Always a pleasure talking to you, my man.
And that's Anthony Lynn, an all-time good dude. But as you heard Coach Lynn mention, Making the first round of cuts was exceptionally tough this year, partly due to the new COVID-19 protocols in place. When the league and the NFLPA agreed to eliminate preseason games back in July, it was also determined that the teams must cut their rosters from 90 players down to 80 players before full contact could even begin. This impacted some of the lesser-known guys greatly, as the coaches had less time than ever to evaluate their talent. And one of the 10 guys who unfortunately did not make it past the first round of cuts was former undrafted free agent tight end Andrew Vollert. Typically, when a player gets cut, the interaction is short and sweet. They hand in their playbooks, their iPads, it's done. But this wasn't the case with Vollert. Take a listen.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Gotta be fucking kidding me.
What?
I just worked my ass off and I know I can play. And I feel like I was something last year. I mean, obviously, I'm not gonna change your guys' mind, but.
Well, no, you're still on the work. You're still on the list. So we just got to let six people go right now.
Yeah.
You got to understand, this is going to be a lot of transactions this year, my man. And anybody that's been here and know this system just a little bit, we're bringing back first. But we had to get two guys at your position, and you just, the youngest was at the bottom. But if someone goes down, someone gets hurt, we'll bring you back in there quickly. So I appreciate the fact that you're pissed off because you work your ass off. I agree with it. I agree with you on that. Yeah, you can play. But right now, it's just a numbers game. And we will bring you back if something goes down.
All right.
So stay ready.
All right. Pistol up.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. I appreciate everything you did.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you. And if you're not with us, good luck to you too.
Cool.
And yet, despite Vollert's strong words and obvious frustration, Coach Lynn was anything but upset with the tight end. In fact, he immediately went into Chargers GM Tom Telesco's office and spoke about how impressed he was by the guy's response.
Let's keep Andrew on the show, Liz. He was pissed off with me.
He walks in and he says, "Is this what I think it is?" I said, "Yeah." I'm standing here and he's like, "That's fucking bullshit."
Yeah, he's hot.
He's hot.
There's no difference.
Yeah.
I was like, "It's the first time I've seen any emotion down here, son. I kind of like it. It means something to him."
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I saw that last year. He's got an edge to him.
Okay.
In a good way.
I just like the fact that he was like, "You got to be fucking kidding me." I was like, "Well, what up now? You ain't Antonio Gates now."
I know.
But I like his fire.
The whole thing is a rough deal, and Andrew Vollert got screwed. He got screwed big. He's supposed to at least play and get a chance to make. That's why he was frustrated. And I love that Coach Lynn does not lash back at him, doesn't show anger. He takes it in stride and actually likes it. But that is 2020. Rough deals, raw situations, and totally, totally unpredictable outcomes. So how did Liev Schreiber put it at the start of the episode? Quote, "A world with no maps, no precedent, and no margin for error," end quote. So let me add one. No excuses. This is a weird time, it's a new time, and Hard Knocks has taken us there. Holy crap, was that a great episode. Every week on the Hard Knocks podcast, I pick my MVP of the episode. This week, I'll go with the biggest personality that we got to meet, and that's fifth-year Rams corner Dante Dion. You see, Dion is no lock to make the team, but he was a lock to make the Hard Knocks producers give him at least some airtime based on his personality. He gives us his breakdown of the Rams locker room situation, which really is two rooms, essentially. One for some of the players, the Jalen Ramseys, the Aaron Donalds, and the Jared Goffs, and another one for some of the other players, including one Dante Dion himself.
So, if I had to, break it down, I would put it like this. This suburbs, you live in plush, you living good. Look at this. Ah. Ooh, look how I can flop down and ain't nobody right next. You see that? The other side, it's like the projects, got a little apartment, what I'm saying? You still got your own space, but, got your little apartment set up, you working to get to the suburbs. You feel me? That's how I'm gonna look at it. You feel me? That's how I'm gonna look. Look, Jalen right here in the suburbs. Look, watch how he sit down. Look, he can lift it up and go. Look how many cleats he could fit in there. I'm surprised he didn't wave his hand and it just lift up. Hey, don't worry.
In addition to naming an MVP, each episode we like to wrap the show by giving you something that I am fascinated by and think is worth following for next week. What I'll be watching this week is how these teams are going to stay as disciplined and as prudent as they've been once full contact starts. You see, we've only seen the walkthroughs in these NFL buildings, and the Rams and Chargers are basically doing football on air, and everyone's been on their P's and Q's, but as Coach Sean McVay warned at the end of the show, if anyone slips up, what happened to the Miami Marlins, an outbreak throughout a building that can happen so fast, could really happen to a football team even faster. And I loved McVay's vulnerability at the end of the premiere episode. He admits on camera that even he, the leader of men in that building, needs to be better with wearing his mask and abiding by the rules. You see, walkthroughs and Zoom sessions, they're all good, but next week these guys are actually going to be playing football. And the coaches are going to be coaching football, and the competition will rise as players are getting released, and not just undrafted guys, guys that might think they're making the team. And as we've seen across the country over the last 6 months, when things start opening up a little bit, there seems to be a natural tendency to loosen up a little bit. See, I'm beyond impressed with both of these teams, and really the league as a whole in all of its efforts in protecting players and staffs in all 32 buildings. The protocols, they seem to be set. And the players and the coaches and the staffs and the medical workers, all there on the premiere episode, they all seem to be abiding by it all. But it's only been a week. We've still got 4 more weeks before actual NFL football and 4 more episodes for Hard Knocks. And that means ramped up physical contact, higher tensions, and a greater chance for what Anthony Lynn alluded to in his opening monologue, chaos. So my advice to everybody, buckle up and don't celebrate success too soon, because football is just getting started. And that does it for this week's episode of the Hard Knocks podcast. This show is produced by HBO Sports and NFL Media. Make sure to check out the Hard Knocks Instagram page at Hard Knocks HBO for exclusive clips all week long. You can also access even more Hard Knocks analysis on NFL.com, where the NFL Network's Dan Hanzus provides in-depth recaps for every episode. And hey, if you're looking for more NFL content, go ahead and subscribe to the Around the NFL and the Move the Sticks podcast now on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And listeners, we want to hear from you. Tweet me at pschrags, that's pschrags on Twitter. Maybe there's a guest you want to hear from or a specific question you want answered. I'll do my best to book that guest or answer that question. I am your host, Peter Schrager, and make sure to watch episode 2 of Hard Knocks next Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern on HBO and stream it on HBO Max. You can find the Hard Knocks podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We're going to be back with a new episode next week. Thanks for listening to the premiere episode.